Good evening.
Good evening. Malka. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
We will begin with section 7 of Parasha Vayera, and I believe we're at Pasuk 122. Excuse me. I think it's 123.
Brandela.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We will begin with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kutcha brichu ishkinte bitchilu urchimu utchilu utchilu urchimu. L'yachta l'shem yudhe b'bavhe. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu elenu maasei yadeinu kunanei elenu maasei yadeinu kunanehu. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, bo urei ma ketiv, vayomer Moshe, el acharon kach et hamach, Putain ele yaha Esh meal amis bea Wisim ketoret Amar lo acharon La mamar Ki yatsa haketzef Milifneha Hashem wegomer Makiti v'yarat el toch ha-kahal V'hine heichel ha-negef ha-am U'ki v'yamod bein ha-metim U'vein ha-chaim V'te'atzar ha-mageifa Wila yakil malaka incha bila la shalta mitzvat la motana. The translation. Rabbi Yitzhak said, come and behold, it is written, and Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from off the altar and put on incense. Aaron asks him, why? Moses replies, for the wrath has gone out from before Hashem. It then says, and he ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague had begun among the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Hence the angel of destruction lost his dominion, and the plague was stayed. Thus it is stated expressly that the incense stopped the plague. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Do you know why this pasuk occurs after the above pasuk? Verse. After the verse that we discussed yesterday, 122. And I will read the verse 122 again to remind you. Elijah said to me, further, there is a signed covenant stating that when there is a plague among people, He sends forth this announcement among all the hosts of the heavens. If the humans enter the synagogues and the yeshivas on earth and recite with all their heart and soul the paragraph of the incense, that Israel once performed, the plague will stop. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, he ran into the temple, Aaron, at the announcement from Moshe, which is the host of heavens, because he's definitely part of that spiritual world. And Hashem announced it, and Aaron ran, like it says in the scripture, and then brought out the spiritual killing powers into the congregation. So he did the mitzvah. He actually did the oral law, or the, you want to call it the oral law, the command.
Aaron did what Moses told him to do.
Right.
We agree. He lit the sense of the Ketorah. He lit the incense. I'm sorry. He lit the incense. And then he ran in somewhere. It says that he ran between the living and the dead. And the plague was stayed. The earlier verse was saying Elijah was giving this condition that if you do stay the incense at the time that the angels are starting to, or are saying negative things about you, that there's a condition that the plague becomes stayed. That there's a condition that the angel can no longer say negative things, but only good things. And it'd be easier if I'd said, or the verse said, instead of angels, said a demon, because then we would identify that it was the negative system was saying negative things.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of hard to distinguish between the two if you don't remember verses from previous studies. That's right. I get that now. So
okay.
The announcement was made to the negative side to go out and distribute the evil incarnation amongst the people. So this is kind of how I see Aaron and Moshe's relationship. When Moshe entered the spiritual world on the mountain, face to face with Hashem, he became the spiritual side of things, the upper level. And then Aaron is the manifestation of Moshe's words. So Moshe speaks to Aaron, and Aaron manifests those actions.
Yes.
From Moshe's words. And that's kind of how I see the relationship now, prior to him meeting up with Hashem, you know, face to face. So Aaron becomes the manifestation of Moshe's words.
That is true, but there's another way of understanding the relationship. I don't remember where it was, but we studied a verse from the Torah. I know where it is. It's in the parasha of. I think it's in Vayera. but it essentially says, and it uses the word Navi, which means prophet. It says, God is saying to Moses, when Moses was at the burning bush, when Moses was arguing with God and said, I can't really speak well. God says, I want you to go, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet, using the word Navi. So their relationship is correct. It is, Aaron is the manifesting of Moses' words. The Midrash says that when Moses received instruction in the Torah from Hashem, he first would teach it to Aaron. Then he and Aaron would teach it to the members of the Sanhedrin, the 70 prophets, that Moses' insights and prophecy was given to these 70 men. And then they, Aaron, Moses, and they would teach it to the leaders of the tribe, and then Moses, Aaron, the 70 members of the Sanhedrin, and the leaders of the tribe would teach it to the people. So essentially each person would receive the teaching from these different levels of people, a hierarchy of people. So all of that information is built into this plague that says Aaron took the incense, ran somewhere which is described as being between the living and the dead. Excuse me, the order is important, between the dead and the living, and the plague is stayed. The previous verse, it explains that when the incense is dealt with, is done properly with the proper kavanah, the negative system can no longer describe negativity, and then there's no reason, without any negativity being described, there's no reason for the negative effects. And you, Malka, you're correct in what you're saying. The relationship between Moses and Aaron is such that it needed to be said that the action was done specifically at the order of Moses, and it was, and Moses' statement to Aaron is not sufficient. Now, when you put the relationship of the two men into the frame of reference of the Sefirot, we consider Moses as Netzach, eternal victory. And we consider Aaron as Hod. And we say that Netzach and Hod never separate. They are always together. The essence of Hod, we say, is appreciation. So we're saying that it's not enough to do things. The victory comes through the action. And that is not the answer to my question of why this verse is said after the other. Initially, you have to know what is going to happen. You have to be aware of what you expect to happen. But then you can't, it's not just mind over matter. You must do an action to manifest what you expect to happen. And that's what's involved in these two verses. So now that I've confused everybody.
No, but I think we know what we know about the ingredients of the incense, but that played a part as well.
And what would you say by that? I agree with you, but I think you don't need to list the 11 ingredients. It's the fact that there were 11.
But if one had been left out or something else had been put in,
it would not work.
Right. So you have the relationship with the two men, but you also have the incense itself to go along with the action.
The right action at the right moment, right time, in the right place, with the right kavanah, the right intention. And where is the right place? We know the right time is when the angels are starting to relate negative actions to the Bet Din. That's the right time. Where's the right place? Between the dead and the living. Where is that? What location is that?
That's my question. I thought the incense has to stay in the Kadosh place, which is the temple or the Mishkan. And he cooked the incense amongst the congregation. So was it taken out of that, of the Mishkan, into the courtyard, outside the temple, out into the camp? I'm not sure. That's a question I have, because I thought that's holy.
It is correct. It is an excellent question. And one answer is the incense is lit twice a day. The menorah is standing on the table, right? Where is that? It's right outside the Holy of Holies.
Right.
Okay. And so it is in the inner essence of the Mishkan. And where does that represent? It represents that point between the spiritual and the physical. Is the spiritual level considered dead? The answer is obviously not. It's considered alive. So you have Aaron had to stand between the physical, which would be considered dead, and the spiritual. And what do we name that point? We name that point Zion. That point where all of the spiritual energy flows into the temple. It says he ran into the midst of the congregation. Now, congregation is the Kol Yisrael. It's a consciousness. Where does that consciousness exist? In the physical world, is Israel one unified body, one unified soul? We like to think so, but we also know in the physical world there's all these different arguments. Two Jews and nine arguments, right? So the Zohar is telling us where it is. At least that's my opinion. But the words that are used are really unusual. The dead. Well, we don't think of the physical world as being dead. But what is the nature of physicality? The nature of physicality is cemented. Underneath the table, within the body of the table, the dead piece of wood that was represented that the table is built from, there's still action, there's still movement. And movement is life. What is the movement? The atoms move, the electrons move. Now, this is all information from the 20th century. It wasn't known, supposedly, in earlier times. But the information that we have now that we can understand, what does the dead mean? It means that the physicality represents a frozen structure, a clean desire. What is the desire of the table? The desire of the table is to serve people sitting at it, to eat their meals, to study the Torah, to do what we do on a table, to write things. Its desire is to serve. That's what's considered dead. Why is it considered dead? Because Malchut, the manifestation, has no light of its own. It can only reveal the light that it receives. And that is considered dead because it's not its own creativity.
So, let me ask this question. Aaron is Hod, Moshe is Netzach. But does Aaron transcend to Malkut because of manifestation of actions that he has to do to present light, to bring light down from the holies or from Hashem. So does he totter back and forth at times? I mean, I'm seeing him in Hod when Moshe and him are unified in delivering the light from Zeron Pan to Malkut. So I'm, you know, my mind says, and sometimes it's not turning as swift it needs to be on things like this, but I see Moses in both frames. I see him in Hod and I also see him in Malkut because he is the vessel that's bringing that down into, I mean, his soul is, you know, into his soul, but he lives in the physical realm as well, just as Moshe.
Maybe we're leaving out the names of Hashem that are in this world. And his attributes move. It's like Hashem, but it's still, you know, like Yadavave is a Tiferet, but then another attribute takes on the next Sephiroth. So they're just the vessels, aren't they?
Let me add a different frame of reference, a different understanding. Isn't Aaron Chesed? And isn't Moses Dot? And Dot He doesn't get to Bina. He rises as high as Dot. Well, Dot, mm-hmm. we know, is not a Sephirah, but it's the balance point between Chachma and Bina.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's representing spirituality versus the manifestation of that spirituality, which is chesed, which is loving kindness. Does that help you answer your question? Or does it confuse it more? Because how can Aaron be both Hod and Chesed? How can Moses be Netzach and Dot? The explanation is they've grown spiritually. They start at the lower level and they climb to the higher level through spiritual growth. Where is this taking place? It's in the book of Bamidbar. It's in the book that we call Zerunpin. When we describe the five books of Moses, Genesis is Keter, Exodus is Chachma, Leviticus is Bina, Numbers is Zerunpin, and Deuteronomy is Malchut. What you really, in order to assess your answers, you have to bring all of this information into synthesis, into a unified whole.
So is Aaron Chesed and Yesod of Zerunpin? Or is he Chesed in the Malkut of Malkut?
He's
tested throughout every Sephirot, right? There's always a 10
yeah,
worlds.
That is correct. And there is communication between anywhere there is chesed, in any frame of reference, any of the 10 Sephirot, there is a chesed. And that each of those 10 chesed's communicate with each other.
So I guess to me, in visualizing and understanding, the question I ask is, or state it, is that Aaron is in Malkut, and he is, but he's Chesed of Malkut. So he's kind of in that frame of Malkut when he's manifesting the light of that vessel in Malkut to Malkut, but not in physicality, more spirituality, not physical.
Look at the concept of Yesod. Yesod has 10 components. It has 5 chasadim, 5 levels of positivity, and it has 5 givorot, 5 levels of negativity. Hello. We're out of time, so
okay.
We're going to have to leave it here. But think about it, and next class is our Rosh Chodesh event this evening at the 7 o'clock West Coast time. So I wish you all Kodesh Tov, and hopefully we'll speak later this evening. And next week, we can bring this question up because we really have not completed it. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom.